Listen today from our reading from Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, a wise man from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at the rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means less of the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went a star that they had seen in its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw a child with Mary and his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their country by another road. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a story full of intrigue, awe, and mystery. The story of wise men who come from the east to pay homage to the Christ child. A group who've traveled months, maybe even years, following a star in the heavens to see if this is a king fit for the gifts that they're bringing. The story is beautiful, bringing together peoples from all walks of life to recognize in the same place and way this king, this child who will save us. And yet in the midst of this beautiful and awe-inspiring story, we find ourselves, or at least I do, with many questions without answers. For example, who really were these wise men? Were they really even men at all? Some traditions say that the wise men actually were wise women and we should celebrate women on Epiphany. Don't you all agree? Other people say that they were Zoroastrians from Persia, come directly from the east. Biblical scholars have said in the past that they are Babylonian astrologers who've watched the stars for years. Or in Biblical Archaeology Review, there is a new research that's come out saying that they've actually come from China and are descendants of Seth, Adam's third son. Others say that they're a mixture of men and women. Wherever they're from, or whoever they are, we don't know. I also get a lot of questions about how many there were. Were there three? Were there 33? Or were there 333? Was there a three in their number? We don't know. Or why is it that they brought three gifts? Was it just to confuse us about how many people were there? Were the gifts to symbolize and tell the story of Jesus' future and his life? Were they to symbolize his role as king? Or were they just ordinary gifts that came from their hometown? Like we might give chocolates from our home place or a mug at Christmas. We don't know. What I always want to know is about the star that they followed. Could everybody see this star? Was it like the northern star, bright light, brighter than all the other stars? Or was it more like a laser beam shining over Mary until she gave birth to Jesus? Did it follow them from Judea all the way to Bethlehem? We don't know. So many questions that leave us with no answers. Matthew or none of the other gospel writers make it clear about who, where, why, and how these wise people have come to make their place before Jesus of the Nativity, which is why we're able to find ourselves on the road with the wise men, traveling along the path to see the Christ child, searching for Jesus in our work, in the midst of crisis, in our everyday life, at home, wherever we go, trying to find the signs of the star that will lead us to Christ. Maybe the roads you've traveled have been long and windy, with lots of curves and ups and downs. Maybe some have been obvious, with direct routes. Whatever it is, we all walk on some journey, some road. Maybe your road is one of marriage. Maybe your road is one with children or the hope for children. Maybe your road is in college, a new job, loss of a job, retirement, an illness that's taken a big chunk of your life, the unknown of the future. Whatever the road is that you're traveling is similar to the road that we all know so well. The feeling of being unsure about what the future will bring. The wonder about what's around the next bend and search for the road signs that are going to say, take this off ramp, make this turn. The excitement of what this future and this journey might take you to. We all handle each of these signs differently. The Sunday after church, my family and I went hiking up Tom's Thumb, and there's a lot of variety of people who hike up Tom's Thumb. Some of the people who were hiking were well equipped with hiking sticks and camelbacks and the whole works. Some people were traveling, hiking in their shorts and flip-flops. And then there was this man traveling with his three sons. The first boy was running up ahead and saying, I'm going to beat you there first. And his dad kept saying, no, wait, you have to come up together. The second son, who kept saying, but Dad, look at that cactus over there. Don't we need to get over there and look at it? And his dad kept pulling him along, saying, no, we can't stop. We have to keep going. And the final boy, who had a hold of his dad's backpack and said, I'm not leaving you for anything, Dad. Sometimes we're always on the rush to the finish line, trying to figure out when we'll make it. Other times, we're looking for the pathways on the sideways, trying to figure out what's on those paths and how they are going to affect and change our life ahead of us. And sometimes, it's all about holding on for dear life, saying, God, you are just going to have to get me through this. And for the wise men, I would imagine it was a little bit of all of the above. Obviously, they were led from the very beginning by a star in the sky that led them on this journey. But they didn't always know exactly where they were going. They had to ask Herod for help at least once. Who knows what else their journey included? What we are sure of is that this road that was before them that took so long had to be a walk of faith. We define faith as the complete confidence in someone or something. Like we have confidence that if we put our key in the ignition or push that special start button, the car will start. We have confidence in our family and friends that will support us as we go through a challenge. And we have confidence and faith in God. But faith in God is a little bit different than other faiths or confidence we have in things. Because faith with God can't really be defined by some definition. Faith is more of a passion. Faith isn't found in all those things we expect them to happen, like duty or achievements or success or beauty. Faith isn't getting all the answers right or making it to the finish line. Faith is all about going. Faith is about going even when we're afraid. Faith is about going when we don't know the unexpected. Fear is one of the only things that seems to plague every person in the story. Matthew tells us that Herod and all of Jerusalem were afraid. Why do you think they were afraid? Herod, afraid of a baby? He was the king. He had all the control and power and thought a baby was going to overpower him. And all of Jerusalem, what did they have to be afraid of? They had preparations and plans for the census that had been taken. Historically, there were lots of people who were claiming to be a Messiah of some sorts. How was this baby different? And yet, somehow, it's in these odd questions, the things that don't seem to make sense, that control the fears that we have in our life. It reminds us that the hardest part of all of our journeys is fear. And yet, fear and faith go hand in hand. I think about the fears we hear on the news of police deaths and racial fears and school shootings and political fears and financial fears and war fears and illness fears and the fear and anxiety that plagues us more and more has become one of the top two stressors in American lives today. Fear is one of those things that can hold us back, stop us from traveling on the road that's before us. They can keep us traveling, but taking side roads that seem safer. Fear can control every part of our journey. And fear can even stop faith. The wise men teach us something about fear and faith here. Because even though Herod was afraid and all of Jerusalem was afraid, Matthew never mentions these three wise men being afraid. The three men, or many men, or women, who traveled from distant lands, maybe even China, walking with their camels and supplies, far distances. Were they afraid of the travel? Were they afraid of other people? Of what might have happened? But they didn't say they were afraid. Fear wasn't what controlled their actions. The wise men learned something amazing here. That it's not all about fear. It's about following. When a few years ago I was traveling up in Montana with my family, visiting my grandmother, up in northeastern Montana. And if you have ever been to northeastern Montana, you know that in the wintertime, there is a lot of storms. There is a lot of blizzards, and it is like here, when the lights go out, it is black as night. So my family and I were traveling, and this blizzard, and you couldn't see 2 feet in front of you, and you couldn't see 2 feet to the left, and here we are hoping and praying we're going to make it to some city that we can stop in. When something amazing happens, a snowplow shows up. And all of you who lived in snow know that a snowplow is like your savior. We followed the snowplow all the way home with the two red lights that led us down the road. The wise men learn that in the midst of a blackout, in the midst of fear and worry, all we have to do is follow the light. And what the wise men learned about the light is that our God is intimate enough to follow, even when it seems unexplainable. that our God is someone to follow because obviously he knows the way. That our God is someone for us to love because he first loved us. Our God is real, human real, and divine real. And most of all, that our God is worth it. Our God follows with us, going with us wherever we go. Promises that answers and proof or success, crossing the finish line, or doing whatever we think might be the answer. Life is just about going. Going means living within the mysteries of our journey that God is taking you on right now. It means that in the mysteries of Christmas, between the visible and the invisible, the silence and the speech, the light and the darkness, the chaos and hope, that we live between God and us. And God says, going is enough, because I will lead you wherever I am going to take you. I will lead you with my Savior in mind, taking you exactly as he has planned. Because going is enough. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.